Good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Talking Show.
Hi.
K-Chung Radio's most respected all-talking radio show. I'm Steve Cato, and I'm here in the studio with Nicholas Miller.
Hey, Steve.
Hi, Nick.
Always great to be here.
You know, I'm noticing that, I mean, I've been noticing it a little bit every week, I guess, but gosh, your hair's getting awfully long.
Yeah, well, you know, it's California.
Yeah. Tell me, just to kill a little time while things get set up in here, how did you settle on the center part?
Oh, you know, that comes from a book that I've been reading called Difference and Repetition. There's quite a bit.
Yeah.
About that in there.
No, you see, I've never had long hair at all. And now, unfortunately, because of a thinning in my hair, it's probably going to be impossible for me to really grow a respectable long head of hair. But I do wonder what choices I would make. You know, there was a time when people would look at just the style choices you and I made, and they would say, you know, I see why you guys are friends.
Yeah, still to this day.
And it's true, not too much has changed. And there were always differences. You always tended to smaller framed glasses, and I always tended to larger framed glasses and, you know, more wacky colors maybe, whereas you were a little more conservative in color choosing.
Yeah, you love that teal.
Yeah.
You really do.
I mean, and then some of it just comes down to budget, right? I mean, like, we'd both be totally wearing those Nike All Over Flash windbreakers if we could, but gosh, those things are pricey.
500 big ones.
I saw Parker Ito wearing one.
No! Well, that ruins the whole thing.
Anyway.
Post-internet jacket.
So yeah, so I'm just curious about what the motivation behind the selection of the way you wear your longer hair was, because considering we agree about so much else in style, I was wondering if it would be the way I would do it. And thus wanted to explore your motivation.
Well, to be honest, most days I wear a side part that starts on the right and then goes towards the left. So the majority of my hair is going leftward from my perspective, which emphasizes the left side of my face, which is the better side. Well, I guess it makes the left side of my face a better side. Maybe it's not independent of the part, the betterness of one side of my face. So I don't. The center part thing was kind of an accident. It was out of my control, I'd say.
Huh. You know, and a haircut you used to have that I quite admired actually was something I would loosely call like the Samuel Beckett. It's like a little bushy on top, short on the sides, and sort of bushy up top. I thought that was pretty good too. Again, at the moment, of course, my main problem is that the part on top is just not cooperating the way it used to. So I'll have to pass up getting the Beckett anytime soon.
You know, a mutual friend of ours, the film curator, Ralph McKay, he once sent me a picture of a young Beckett and told me that he thought I was the young Beckett, which I was kind of taken aback by, because I don't think he was joking. I think he actually thinks that I might be young Samuel Beckett some 80 years after there was a young Samuel Beckett, or maybe 100. I'm failing to remember when Beckett lived. I don't know. Maybe I don't feel like I'm a young Samuel Beckett in actuality. I feel like I have a different identity.
So, since it's summertime and the living is easy, we're and since we're staycationing here in Los Angeles and not traveling the world as usual, K-Chung Radio has, you know, gone through a lot of changes, and things were a lot easier early on. And now there's just a lot more work to get done around here. So, yeah, vacation time clawed way back. That's right. But sticking to our easy breezy summer theme of music, taste, popular music, popular ideas of good taste, etc. I happen to be reading a friend of mine's new article in his new job. My friend Carl Wilson has just become the chief music critic for Spin magazine. So congratulations, Carl.
Woohoo. Yeah, I love that Celine Dion book. Go, Carl.
Yeah. But, you know, Spin is a mainstream publication. Spin is not The Wire. And so Carl's job directs him towards specifically considering relatively mainstream subjects. So it's an interesting critical position to have to adopt in a way. It's one that I hadn't really considered too seriously until you know, a friend of mine was put in that position. And he recently wrote about this new Nicki Minaj video. Have you seen this?
No, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, Anaconda. And
I can only imagine what that's about.
You know, as with a lot in pop culture, until reading about it in this article, it had just passed me by. I mean, I know that, you know, Nicki Minaj is famous for her incredible derriere and outrageous outfits and such. I knew all about that, but I was not aware that there had been some sort of new frenzy surrounding such. So I went and gave it a look. And I have to say that I wanted more.
Is she a secret snake charmer?
You dog. No. That's not what I wanted more of. No, what I wanted more of was... I wanted more from the song, first of all. Like, the song is pretty much just like one sort of fun cut up from Sir Mix-a-Lot's Baby Got Back. And, you know, I don't in any way hate Sir Mix-a-Lot. And I think if anything's good about this song, it's that this is probably going to change a whole lot for Sir Mix-a-Lot today.
Yeah, no more casino shows for that guy.
Right. Right, like imagine the kind of circuit Sir Mix-a-Lot was on before this song came out, and then imagine the radical improvement in his, you know, position afterwards, considering that this song's a big deal.
Yeah.
He can probably swing a few tours out of this. I bet he's going to be on stage with Nicki at some point, if not already, if that hasn't already happened. You know, back in the public eye.
He'll have to buy a new car.
But it's not brilliant, you know. The other really...
Is it sexy, Steve?
Well, all right, and the rest of the video is again, some pretty hilarious sort of booty destruction. But it's nothing that I haven't actually seen in videos from, you know, the actual heyday of 90s booty. Like, there's some pretty... outrageous stuff that's happened in booty videos. It happened in SD because it was the 90s. You couldn't see, like, the, you know, jean shorts digging into the side of the, you know, huge round jiggling butt the same way you can now. You can see all the fibers now.
Yay.
You can see the skin cells. But
yay.
You know, that aside, fortunately, the human rear has remained mercifully unchanged since the 1990s. It's largely the same. And God bless it. So I wanted a little more, I guess. I wanted the video to be somehow more outrageous. Like that Tyler, the Creator video where he's like jumping on the big butt like a trampoline. Like, that's at least a little more outrageous and sort of like a, you know, taking Nickelodeon to new heights kind of level, you know, I feel.
Yeah.
I feel.
I'd like to see my aesthetic understanding of the butt expanded.
Anyway,
that would be good.
Throughout his whole article, though, Carl does sort of meditate on what it is to be interested in pop music and what is constituted sort of with a line maybe between interest and taste. And it's worth, certainly, you know, worth thinking about.
Yeah, that's what his Celine Dion book is about, really.
That's right. He did write that book about Celine Dion. Yeah, that's the same Carl. So our next guest, however, is actually a recording.
Oh, no.
That's right. That's right, Nicholas. We've done this before.
And
this is the kind of thing we resort to when either a recording is itself too magnificent as an object, as an entity, to be ignored in the field of talking. And sometimes we use recordings just because, frankly, there's a historical precedent and it has to be obeyed. So the recording we're going to play now is a recording that is highly critical of popular music.
Oh, goody.
Highly critical.
Treading in difficult waters here, Steve.
And, you know, this is funny. It's not who you think it is. You know, knowing the talking show, you loyal listeners, you'll think like, oh, for sure this is going to be Theodore Adorno or someone from the Frankfurt School, at least. This is going to be one of those things. This is going to be, you know, knowing these guys, this is the kind of thing these guys like to do. And believe me, it couldn't be farther from Big Ted.
You know, and our real listeners know that we're more cunning than that.
Our recording is taken from a dubious, at best, series, Sounds of American Doomsday Cults. This recording was allegedly volume 14. No other volumes in the series have ever come to light, to my knowledge. There is a sister series, Sound of Japanese Doomsday Cults, that has released a 7-inch of Shoko Asahara, the leader of Aum Shinrikyo, the cult behind the Tokyo sarin attacks, subway sarin attacks. They released a 7-inch by Shoko Asahara, but I don't know of any other releases in the Sounds of American Doomsday Cult series. If you know of more, please write in to the station or call, because I'm definitely curious. And this is a recording made by the Church Universal and Triumphant, who were at the time based in Montana. And this was recorded in the 80s. As you'll be able to tell by the then current references. And maybe it's worth considering this take versus a Nikki, the Anaconda video, things on TV right now, and also sort of, you know, Carl Wilson's plea for a broadening of the concept of taste within pop music, and or what the fallouts for that sort of anti-rockist stance in music criticism has brought about, where that's going to take us versus this sort of from this distant hill that we're going to stand on now. And so we can look back towards ourselves in the future, in a time suspended between the sort of white rockist canon and this more ebullient but also slicker and more commercial popular product.
So, like, if somebody did a mashup of the movie High Fidelity and the movie Looper, this is the kind of critical world you're hoping for, right, Steve?
With that, ladies and gentlemen, here is the Church Universal and Triumphant, led by Claire Prophet, on The Talking Show.
In the name I am that I am, Sanat Kumara, I call forth the light of the living word, beloved Elohim, beloved archangels, beloved mighty Choans of the rays and the lords of karma. I call for the action of beloved Pallas Athena, beloved goddess of liberty, beloved Nada, beloved Kuan Yin, beloved Portia, beloved great divine director, beloved all-seeing eye of God, Cyclopea. Let God's will be done, let God's will be done, let God's will be done. I demand the action of the sacred fire in this hour. Descend, O mighty cosmos, secret rays. I am the holding of the balance of Lord Gautama Buddha, beloved Sanat Kumara and the seven holy Kumaras. I call upon the sacred fire. I call upon the light of God that never fails. Beloved mighty I Am Presence, come forth in this hour of the victory. Come forth in this hour of the victory of the God flame. I demand the full power of beloved mighty victory be with us this night. Beloved Jesus and Kuthumi, Lord Maitreya, Gautama and Sanat Kumara, come forth now in the victory of the God flame. Blaze the light of 10,000 suns. Beloved mighty Astraea, mighty Astraea, mighty Astraea, lock your cosmic circle and sword of flame around this force field now. I call upon the great central sun magnet. I call upon the light of God that never fails. Beloved Astraea, beloved Astraea, beloved Astraea. I call upon the electronic solar rings of the great central sun, the seraphim of God. I call for the electronic fire rings. I call for the rings of the great central sun. I call for the great central sun magnet and the full power of Helios and Vesta. Descend now into this force field. Descend now into this force field. Descend now into this force field. Let God's will be done. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the Mother, we dedicate this service now to the tackling of the beast and the dragon that gave it power behind the entire momentum of rock music on this planetary home. And we stand before the altar of the Most High God, clothed upon with the armor of the mighty archangels and the seraphim of God. We stand this day to challenge the very cause and core of evil, of the depths of death and hell, and out of the pit of the fallen ones who have moved against the light bearers and our youth, and the ones sent and the children of the light to subvert them by the syncopated rhythm of the fallen ones and the misuse of the 4/4 time. Burn through mighty iron resins, beloved mighty Astraea. I demand the action of your sacred fire. Bind now every tool of the sinister force. Bind the fallen ones, all the promoters of rock music, the composers, and those who execute it. Blaze the light through. Blaze the light through. I demand the binding of all animal magnetism, malicious, ignorant, sympathetic, and malicious. Burn through and encircle the very cause and core of it now. Blaze the light of 10,000 suns. Blaze the light of 10,000 suns. Blaze the light of 10,000 suns. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the Mother. Amen. Good evening, everyone. I have come to you this evening to begin a spiral ongoing of challenging the cause and core of rock music, the great anti-freedom force of the planet. So won't you be seated so that we can begin. What we're going to do is to play this 30-minute segment, and our decree leaders are going to lead the calls to Hercules with their own invocation at the end of it. I am tending fires that must be tended from this altar, and I shall return. I'm going to begin with viewing some of this with you, and I'm going to return to make the very incisive calls that need to be made. But what you need to do is to build a platform to Hercules, having seen what you're going to see. Now that you know the subject of the matter, I'm going to make an additional call for protection at this time. I ask you to close your eyes, to kneel if you would like to kneel, as we implore God for our protection in this endeavor.
Let them be bound by the power of the Lord's host in this hour.
Thank you. Let us be seated and turn out the lights. See that your spines should be erect. You should be sitting in a very formal posture. Fold your arms in front of you, feet flat on the floor, and look like Moria. Just be very stern. These bodies are taken over by fallen angels out of the pit, whether the people themselves who are born with these bodies are fallen angels. Once the person gives himself to this rhythm, he has a fallen angel over him or in him.
Let's begin with the Great Divine Director's Call. We'll give the preamble, and then we'll make invocations before the altar, before the decree. Great Divine Director's Call together.
In the name of the Christ, I call to the Great Divine Director, the Lord, to come and be the residence of the Christ, and I'm the Son of the Seed, the Son of the Name of the Christ, and the Maker of the Nation on earth. And I call to the beginning of the light and life, and I want from Egypt to the Abyssinia, 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 the
God, in the name of the Christ, we call you, beloved mighty Hercules, for the full power and release of your flame of mighty God power to descend into the planetary body and to completely destroy, confound, confute, roll back, consume, and take dominion and command over the energies that have been portrayed in these video clips which we have seen, and through all the individuals responsible for them, the fallen angels directly out of the bottomless pit, the demons of death and hell out of the bottomless pit, their portrayal of those fallen angels embodied, and those fallen angels who have infested the life streams of these individuals, overshadowing them, all matrices and images of witchcraft, black magic, torture, the rebellion of the fallen angels, all mechanical creation, all images of enslavement and imprisonment, all rage and anger of death and hell, and the murder and the murderous intent, the confusion of masculine and feminine roles, all portrayal of sexual perversion, including homosexuality and lesbianism, sympathy for Satan and the sorrows of Satan, association with the Nephilim and spacecraft, all perversions of the third eye through distorted and exaggerated images, perverted movements of the body and break dancing and other forms of dancing. And we especially call for the judgment in this hour and the destroying of rock music directed specifically against children through the videos that were portrayed. And working specifically through these individuals, for whom we call forth the judgment of the sacred fire in this hour before the throne of Almighty God, Michael Jackson, Prince, Bruce Springsteen, Tina Turner, David Bowie, Van Halen, Madonna, Huey Lewis and the News, The Cars, Herbie Hancock, Bonnie Tyler, Stevie Nicks, Men at Work, ZZ Top, Paul McCartney and Michael Jackson, Weird Al Yankovic, Cindy Looper, Pink Floyd, The Pretenders, Billy Joel, Billy Idol, Elton John, Neil Young, Sheena Easton, Patti Smith and Scandal, Fashion, Big Country, Morris Day and The Time, John Lennon, Apollonia 6, REO Speedwagon, David Gilmour, The Rolling Stones, Pat Benatar, Hall & Oates, Wham, Rebby Jackson, Adam Ant, Bananarama, Christine McVie, Queen, Jack Cougar Mellencamp, U2, Searance, Fleetwood Mac, The Alan Parsons Project, Rick Springfield, The Thompson Twins, Missing Persons, Duran Duran, Police, Eurythmics, Culture Club, including Boy George, Band-Aid, Relax, Stevie Wonder, Kenny Rogers, Jay Iglesias and Diana Ross, Donna Summer, Dean Martin, Kiss, Scorpions, Def Leppard, and especially for the judgment of all movies, including Beat Street, MTV, Street Beat, Miami Vice, Kid Video, Scooby-Dooby-Doo, Spinal Tap, Michael Cimbello, Flashdance, 2010, and Andy Summers, Kenny Loggins, Phil Collins, Fire Incorporated, Olivia Newton-John, and the movie Ghostbusters, and all other individual groups or individual artists who vibrate in consonance with them, and with the vibration of the fallen angels and the demons of death and hell from out the bottomless pit. We call forth thy flame now into the plains of Mater, and for the full action of the will of God, for the confounding and confuting of these images and this release of the plague of death and hell upon the planetary body, we accept it done now with full power, according to God's holy will, through this our decree.
Now we're going to, at the point I make the call on this, the entire accumulation of what I have here to make calls on, I would like you to run through this video in silence. I'm going to make an invocation. We are going to do 2012. Have you been standing? Would you like to stand for this call? All right, you're welcome to stand. If anyone is not able, don't feel the need to force yourself. So you may stand at this time. I'm going to make an opening invocation, and then we're going to begin this. And when I come to the place where I want to do this insert, it's a long insert. Where the insert begins, you are going to roll this tape. Please close your eyes at this time.
Like I'm gonna be I'm gonna do it. Yeah, I gotta be, but I gotta be, call me in the Bible. I'm gonna be.
Holy moly.
My goodness, that was riveting.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a good point, Nicholas. That's a good point. This really did cross, perhaps, that controversial line between chanting and talking.
Oh, yeah. That's a brutally contentious line here at the Talking Show. Steve's actually drawn that line on the studio floor, and we've got, it looks like, one of the hosts from Too True is on the chanting side. I'm on the chanting side. Steve's on the talking side with Johnny Jungle Guts, but Johnny appears to be passed out. I don't know if his presence, physical presence on the side, on the talking side, amounts to much of a vote. I don't know.
Yeah. It's the talking show. Yep. It's always the talking show. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, the chanting show doesn't have the same ring, though.
That's right.
So it could be the talking chanting show.
I think it's interesting that, you know, they would also subject themselves to the pop culture and then sort of chant for its destruction.
Yeah, it was like doing penance. But, you know, so many religious ideologies are filled with a kind of self-punishment, which turns out to be cathartic in some way.
You know, and did you watch the Anaconda video? You know, my favorite part was actually the part where she gives Drake this really awkward lap dance, and he doesn't have anything to do with the song. He's not on the song or anything like that. He just sort of like walks on screen, sits in a chair, and gets, you know, a lap dance essentially, and he looks extremely uncomfortable, which is the kind of thing that I wonder, you know, I wonder how that would look in a context, in a, you know, Montana bomb shelter awaiting the end times.
Yeah, they probably, there are probably very few lap dances in that bomb shelter. I don't imagine sex plays much of a role other than purely procreation, and it's probably assigned.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know me, like Drake's a popular subject of conversation with me anyway. Us guys from Toronto, you know, we got to stick together.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, well, you know, when I go over to Drake's place, I actually do sign a non-disclosure agreement. So, and you know, I promised you that I'd invite you next time I could invite you. But, you know, as it stands, what happens out there at Drake's place, it's in the valley. It, you know, like, I don't want to say, I don't want to, you know, just don't get your hopes up. That's all I'm saying.
I understand, Steve. I never hold it against you.
Anyway.
I mean, if I knew Drake, I wouldn't invite you.
We've talked enough tonight.
I really wouldn't.
The Church Universal and Triumphant have probably, on a words per minute basis, talked more than anyone else has ever talked on the show.
Probably true.
So let's just call it a day. Huh? Let's wrap it up, folks. Good night, everyone.
Sleep tight.